The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It is a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have plenty to get to. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, will be on board here momentarily. I am still basking in the light of the World Series. The Cardinals play Dallas tonight. Is this Kyler Murray's final game in a Cardinal uniform with the deadline tomorrow? Man, there's a lot going on. It's opening a college basketball season. U of A plays Florida tonight. It's a beautiful time of year. There's no other way to put it. This is the best time of year with so much going on in the world of sports. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their ongoing support. John Wilner comes up in about 10 minutes. We'll talk college football. More coaches getting blown out. The number that I've heard now of dead money, okay, these are coaches that have been fired and colleges have to go pay them off. That number as we sit here today is $185 million in dead money. So, and then some of these jobs that came open, Auburn came open over the weekend. Kenny Dillingham is just sitting here. He's been at Auburn before. Those people are crazy with the amount of money they're throwing at him. And to think that there hasn't been anybody reaching out to gauge his interest. I myself don't think that he's going anywhere, but it wouldn't surprise me if somebody came along and said, you know, we're just going to back the truck up and you're not going to have to deal with any of the stuff from the president. You're going to have to deal with any of the stuff off campus. So if you're an Arizona State football fan, you should be very nervous right now. If you're a U of A football fan, after what you accomplished at Colorado, and yeah, Colorado's not good, doesn't matter. How often do you see the U of A just go out in football and steamroll the opposition? Very seldom, if ever. So I think the college football week outside of the World Series, I'm going to save the World Series for later. If you're like, why are you not leading with baseball? I'm going to save the World Series for later because it's more than just a couple of passing thoughts on what I was able to witness here and just the whole postseason in general, what it means for the Diamondbacks and all that stuff moving forward. But over the weekend, when you see schools that go out and play the way that they played and they're below the radar, tomorrow is the first day of the college football playoff rankings that will come out tomorrow. And John and I are going to talk about his beliefs on who he believes are in or not. There's schools like TCU that are sitting there who ASU beat, that they have BYU, Houston, and Cincinnati left on their schedule at TCU. It's a pretty good path to make it to the college, to the Big 12 championship game, which then could lead you to the college football playoff. You have a school like Pitt. Pitt's 5-1. Pitt has a freshman quarterback, but they finish with Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Miami of Florida. That's another program that no one is talking about, but beneath the surface of this great college football season, here they are. Bringing it closer to home, I thought that Kenny Dillingham's coaching victory at Iowa State was one of the better ones in his short tenure so far at ASU. They had no reason to go there and win, correct? How many players were out? How many players were banged up? Jeff Sims, there had been questions about whether or not he could be a quarterback to lead them in a time of trials. And yes, he had his mistakes in hanging on to the football. Yes, he did. And yeah, Iowa State didn't look good at all. That was one of the worst looking Matt Campbell teams that I've seen. But you've got to give the Sun Devils credit, a road victory like that against a good opponent. Iowa State's a good team, but they just didn't play well. Or was it ASU? Was it a combination? Are we just in this new space where it doesn't matter how long you've been at a program like Matt Campbell and you're going to go out and you're going to lay eggs because players are going to other programs? So it was a good weekend all the way around on the college football front. It was a lot of fun. The Cardinals play tonight. The Super Cardinals play at Dallas. It is a Monday night football game. This is the Super Bowl every year for a Cardinal fan. This is like if the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers, okay, or the Suns beat the Lakers. The Cardinals beating the Cowboys is right on the same par in this market. In this market, it doesn't matter if the Cardinals don't make the playoffs. They're going to have guys say, well, we beat the Cowboys. Well, let me fill you in on something. The Cowboys aren't any good, okay? And this is where I get very frustrated with the grit, as I like to say, of the fan base. And yeah, I'm attacking fans here a little bit. I have no reason to not to. The product on the field's not good, and people still want to go out and support it. We've seen Kyler Murray for 7 years. This shouldn't even be a topic of conversation. He shouldn't have been here this year. So here's the deadline tomorrow. Jacoby Brissett's going to start tonight. If things go as they usually do with the Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett will play well enough. Kyler's name will be dangled around out there. He'll get pissed. Jonathan Gannon is going to be caught in the middle of it. The general manager, if these two first-round picks don't pan out, man, I'm just looking at what they've done with the draft, and you've got to take a step back. It's beyond passing Cam Scatabu, which in its own right was a horrendous decision. Horrendous. But we're sitting here and I feel like it's the usual. Like, well, okay, this give me a first year. They're doing some good things. Second year, third year, when they signed Jacoby Brissett, I thought that was one of the better signings that this organization has recently made. You've got to push Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is one of these guys that holds all the cards. Clayton Tune's going to push me off the field? No, he's not. So it's either he gets hurt. We have to put up with mediocre play, which is what has gone on forever. We have to go back and show a play against Buffalo that everybody gets excited about except me because it's just a defensive back not batting the ball down. But we don't care about that stuff. We just want to, make it out to be, well, we're the greatest thing ever. No, we're not. This is why we are mired in mediocrity. This is it. So, and as long as people get excited about the hometown heroes on the football field, then we're going to have some of the same nonsense. And there's some good guys over there, but tonight should not be the season is made on beating Dallas. The season is on the line, and guess what? Next week they go to Seattle. Good luck in the next 6 days. Good luck. All right. John Wilner is next. We'll get deeper into college football, and then I'm going to talk about the World Series in depth. I'm Brad Sussmat. John Wilner is with us. Wilner Hotline, as always, so great to have John on board. Nationally syndicated columnist, knows all, tells all. He can explain from a banker's point of view how $185 million in dead money is sitting there on a Monday from coaches being fired. He can explain about the college football playoff tomorrow night and why teams like TCU and Pitt may still be in the race because John Wilner knows all, tells all. So, where do you want to start? CFP tomorrow night or dead money coaches?
Oh man. Either one. They're both great topics. Then we could do a whole segment on either.
Right. So let's go into tomorrow night with CFP. I mentioned Pitt. Pitt has Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Miami left. They're 5-1. They have a freshman quarterback named Heinschel.
Yeah.
Do they have any shot, John?
Well, sure. Any team that's got only two losses has got a shot. And Pitt's got, I haven't looked exactly at all the scenarios in the ACC, but if you win the ACC, you're in.
All
You win
right.
the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, SEC, you're in. And then the highest ranked team from the group of five is also in.
Okay, so TCU has BYU, Houston,
Yep.
Cincinnati. I mean, it's pretty clear path if they win out and then they go to the Big 12 championship game. We hadn't thought TCU, Arizona State beat TCU.
Yep.
So I'm just looking at this one as we can put this CFP out tomorrow night, this made for television show that has sponsors and debate and how many, why are there so many SEC teams and why are there not enough? We can do all that.
We could.
But when you look at the bottom line on this, bottom line is there's some unknowns that are sitting around out there. John was the only one, by the way, that said Georgia Tech was going to be in the CFP this year. John
Yeah,
had that
that's
at the
right.
start of the season.
Yeah.
John had that Miami was going to just completely fall apart, even though they looked like the best team in all of America about 6 weeks ago.
Well, that was predictable given their head coach.
Oh,
Mario's gonna Mario. Mario's gonna Mario. They got the best players in a mediocre league, and he still can't win it. This was the one of the main reasons they expanded the CFP to 12 teams was to incorporate more teams into the mix in November, more valuable games, more high ratings games in November. That's why they did it. There's a lot of teams. If you got two losses, You're still in the mix. ASU is still in the mix. There's no doubt about that. You look at their upcoming schedule, they could easily win out, finish 7-2 in the Big 12. They get a couple of breaks with other results, and the next thing you know, big ASU is back in the Big 12 championship game playing for a playoff berth, even though they have got three losses overall.
West Virginia, Colorado, U of A.
Yep, I jotted it all down. Right.
That's a pretty good schedule, John.
I mean, that if you're a Kenny Dillingham, that is exactly the schedule you want to have down the stretch. Colorado is atrocious. Been blown out the last 2 weeks by Utah and Arizona. West Virginia has one big 12 win. I mean, even with Jeff Sims, even with no Levitt, even if Tyson's not 100%, ASU still got a great chance to win out. And again, if even though they have three losses, if they win the Big 12 championship, they are in. Now, the problem is going to be getting into the Big 12 championship because the head-to-head losses are going to be tough, especially the Utah loss. If Utah's also in the mix, that makes it a little bit more of a narrow path for ASU because of the tiebreaker scenarios.
I thought it was one of the best games that Kenny Dillingham has been played.
Yep.
His team in his run here at ASU. They had no business starting quarterbacks down, starting receivers down on the other side of the field. That's one of the worst looking Matt Campbell teams that I've seen. And that really doesn't happen. So
it's a two things are equally true. You got to give ASU tons of credit, but Iowa State is in free fall. They lost to Colorado. They've lost what, four in a row. So, you know, I think great win for ASU. The other team, though, the opponent is not that good right now. Mm-hmm. But bottom line is ASU is still in the mix in the Big 12.
John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline, here for a few minutes. Okay, dead money, $185 million of it. Do you think the number, how high do you think this number is going to go? If coaches fired, $185 million a day, $300 million, $400 million?
Boy, I haven't gamed it all out, but I would say at least $250 million, at least a quarter billion will be in dead money. And this is based on coaches getting fired, the buyouts, the settlement agreements, and the ridiculous contracts that they've been handed over the years by athletic directors. Like, I don't know if you saw the Indiana-UCLA game. It was a, 55-10 or something? Complete blowout.
Right.
The Hoosiers could have scored 80. Well, that is similar to the sports agents against the athletic directors. Mm. It is an absolute blowout. And it has been for years. The agents are able to leverage their coaches, these incredible contracts with these huge buyouts, all because the ADs are worried that a coach might leave, even though there's not an actual offer. They misread the market. They're worried for their own job, because if you lose a popular coach, your job's in jeopardy.
Right.
All these things go into the pot. The bottom line is the agents have had their way for years, and all this dead money is the result of panicked ADs signing coaches to deals that they have no business agreeing to. I mean, Matt Rhule's the latest example. Nebraska just signed him to a big extension last week because they're worried he might go to Penn State. Well, first of all, I don't think Penn State's going to hire him. And second of all, is that such a big deal if Nebraska loses Matt Rhule? He hasn't won much there yet.
Right. Right. No, I think it's – if you bring this into to Kenny Dillingham, okay?
Yep.
Because I don't believe that Brent Brennan is being pursued by other schools.
No.
I believe that Kenny Dillingham, the minute that Auburn was even thinking about getting rid of Hugh Freeze, that somebody at Auburn reached out to say, hey, how about this? And so to your point – to think that Michael Crow is going to take a Graham Rossini phone call and say, hey, we need to talk about Kenny's being pursued and we need to double his.
They just gave him one last December, right?
Correct. Yeah. We need to up his assistant coaching pool dollars, which I understand even today as we're sitting here talking is a point of contention.
Yeah.
So where does it end? Who's going to be the guy that steps in, the president, and says, I've had enough of this. I'm going to plant my flag. Could it be Arizona State because of the way that the president is? And every week I rail on this president, but it's a fact. He's the one guy that could say, you can go find another job. We're not going to do this. And Graham Rossini's kind of sitting over there saying, okay, Then you have, John, just a simple question of, are there even enough qualified head coaching candidates for these huge jobs? These huge jobs that are sitting there, like, if there are players, if people like Matt Rhule, who I'm with you, fine, go take the Penn State job. But Penn State's not going to go get, you know, a Mike Denbrock and try and sell that.
Yeah.
Offense coordinator at Notre Dame. They've had a right. good season, right? So how do you go about, you know, convincing the fan base that LSU is hiring X or Penn State's hiring Y when there's not a deep enough coaching pool? Because a lot of this is fan-driven now. Fans being asked to be given the money. What do you mean you're bringing in this Division II runner-up to
yes.
program? Am I making sense, Sean?
You are, and that's an important point, is the line between the administrators and the fans has blurred.
Yes.
It used to, fans are reactionary, right? And it used to be that athletic directors and presidents could take a much more measured approach. But now, because of NIL and revenue sharing, and the schools are that much more dependent upon fans for the money to fund the roster, mm-hmm. the schools have to be more reactionary too. They have to kind of adopt the fan mentality and respond to the whims of the fan base to a much greater degree than they did before. I think that's part of the reason for all these in-season firings. We're going to get more firings. There's going to be, right now, I think there's 12 Power 4 jobs open. I'm sure there'll be more than 20 by the end of November, early December. I don't think any president, including Michael Crow, is going to put their foot down. You know, to me, the Dillingham thing, I could see it getting to the point where, hey, can you help my staff out? I don't think Dillingham is going to go to Rossini and say, yeah, we just renegotiated a deal last year, and I like it because it provides longevity for me and security for me, but let's do a whole new deal. I don't see Dillingham doing that, but he may see if there's a way to help his staff a little bit, and that, to me, is a reasonable outcome. It's never going to end. Unless there's certain legislative or legal changes to the way the whole economic system of college football is run, mm-hmm. I don't see how it's going to change.
Okay, you and I have been doing this for many years now. And I think there's been times where both of us have, on the air, off the air, felt like there's some dark clouds hanging over the sport. And yet, the TV numbers continue to go up. Is that a combination of legalized gambling, which has more people involved? In my opinion, yes, it is. We're not seeing this decline of, I hate the game, I'm not going to watch anymore because of NIL. People are over that. This is becoming a brand that I don't care if it doesn't get the same numbers as the NFL. It's much more enjoyable and watchable. But the sport is not teetering on the edge of extinction, John, and some had predicted that it would be.
It's not. The NCAA predicted it would be with NIL. That was one of their arguments in the courtroom. The TV ratings require a caveat because Nielsen has changed the way it measures,
yes.
and they're capturing more out-of-home viewers.
Yes.
So some of it is just that they're getting an audience that was already there, not that there is an entirely new audience for college football. But yeah, the ratings are up. It is very popular. The expansion of the playoff has helped. I think NIL and revenue sharing and the transfer portal have helped because they've made more teams relevant, right? Look at Indiana. Look at Georgia Tech.
Yep.
You know, those were not schools that could be relevant on the national scene previously. So there have been a lot of changes that have actually helped create parity, create more interest in more teams deeper in the season. Everybody's got an alma mater, and you root for your alma mater, right? And that is the heart of college football's popularity, and I don't see that changing. And the media ecosystem is moving in the direction that favors football generally in this country, and college sure. football as well, right? It's the second most popular sport behind the NFL. Gambling's part of it, for sure. It's going to just keep going up.
Anything else on your wheelhouse this week that you're looking at? Like this tomorrow night, I could go through who are the 12 teams, all that stuff. Doesn't really move me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll shake itself out. I would say that the one thing that fans everywhere should watch, like the point of commonality for everybody, is Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame can only get in as an at-large team. So if the Irish are in, there's only six spots for the other conferences to send out large teams. If Notre Dame is out, there's seven spots. That could be a second team from the Big 12. It could be a fourth team from the Big 10. Notre Dame is the team everybody needs to root against in the power conferences because they single-handedly can gobble 1/7 of the at-large pool.
That's already happening, John.
Well, I know you say it's already happening. If they win out and they're 10-2, they're probably going to get in, even though they won't have very many good wins. But that everybody needs to root against Notre Dame because it will open up 1/7 of the at-large pool.
Yeah, everybody roots against Notre Dame anyways, except if they went to Notre Dame.
That's true. That's true.
Goes. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout. Okay, before we get out of here, a few things on the baseball front. We always want to go to it was the best World Series ever. I don't know. I thought 2001 was really good. World Series, you can look at, and actually in all sports, when something comes down to dramatics, to absolute drama, to absolute nonsense that's going on in the field, like, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable, it's indescribable. Well, I don't know, just last week, an 18-inning game? Greatest baseball game we've ever seen. Greatest World Series we've ever seen. It's just how wonderful sports is. In a time when there's so much going on, where people are at each other's throats politically, at a time where we have things going on in our country that have divided us in many ways, sports brings us all together. It does. And so Game 7 was... I watch it from start to finish. I'm married to a person that puts it on before I even walk into the room. That's how invested she is in all this. When I see Yamamoto throw 130 pitches and the only response I get from Diamondback fans is, well, they bought a World Series. That is the laziest take I have ever heard. Laziest. And the Diamondbacks got in on Yamamoto, just got in late. People forget about that. It all comes down. This World Series did not come down to, well, they made this much money. It really didn't. They built a team that barely made it through the regular season. They built a team that had grit. They built a team that in Arizona, we get this, oh, we hate LA, we hate LA. Just focus on your own team. I guess it sounds great to, you know, beat LA. Oh, we won a game in April. So what? Diamondbacks, they had a bullpen this year. They probably would have been past the Dodgers, but they didn't. It wasn't like the Dodgers had great pitching during the regular season that they bought. It's grit. You have to have the roster. But it really comes down to this. A ball gets lodged under the left center field wall. And that's how close it came to Toronto winning a World Series. A lodged baseball. That's fact. So the brilliance of Yamamoto, and I thought Fox missed on a whole bunch of things. They didn't show any footage of Randy having to come back in the World Series in 2001 on short no rest. Madison Bumgarner came back in, 2012, 2013? I forget the year. Okay, Joe Carter hits a home run for Toronto to win the World Series against Philadelphia. They didn't show that. Is it that I'm an old guy? No, first of all, I'm not old. Second of all, these are things that give some context to what we are witnessing. You know, Dave Roberts is sitting over there in Los Angeles, winning championships, managing egos, managing his way through seasons, where if they lose the series down 3-2, he could be talking about being unemployed today. He could. That's how close it came for him. So what it means for the Diamondbacks, it means that they now have to move forward. And once again, it's competing against the Dodgers, and it's not competing against the payroll. You can go buy all the players you want. We see it. They get hurt. Corbin Burns. The Diamondbacks spent huge money on Corbin Burns. What happened? Got hurt. So I'm not going to be one of those people that sit here and say they just got to spend more. No, you just have to be smarter. Have to have some luck. Have to have a lot of luck along the way. All right? Head over to the website, lots of content, TV shows over on Arizona Family Sports and Your View and CW7. And we appreciate all of our partners. And Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man. If anything went wrong over this last segment, it's entirely his fault. I'm Brad Smith.